There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Thrasher today. Sorry about that.
Hi. Yeah, sorry, no, that was a lot.
It's just to surprise you. Mm. And I like, you know, keeping you on your toes. Now, everyone knows we're on Zoom and only certain people get to see the Zoom, but listen to our NMR from a few days ago and you will find out why I'm complimenting John on his hair and why he looks very good and put together today. I put on lipstick for you.
I was going to say, you've got a nice red lip. I always like when you wear bold colors.
I wore it to my family's Passover. I think I forgot to say this in NMR.
That's right.
In the car, my mom was like, I love that lipstick. And I was like, you and John Thrasher both. So you and my mom, have something in common.
She and I are very like-minded, I've noticed over the years. Like when you describe her, I hear myself in her.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. And thank you for the nice compliment. I got a haircut. That's really the only difference. I did find, you'll hear on the, if you go back and listen to NMR, I found a new product I like and it's working. What can I say? You know?
And listen, if it works for you, it works for you.
It works.
Like my
Let me
God.
Say though, I mean, I won't go too much into it, but my hair is just so soft. And I have really thick hair, and when I wash it, it gets real dry and frizzy. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, for me, for a couple of days after I wash my hair, it's always like, what's it going to do? And it also curls, which is
nice. Do you
nice.
Wash it every day?
No. No. I wash it, like, twice a week. Sometimes three times a week, depending on my pickleball tennis schedule.
That means
you don't
let water touch it, or you don't put product in it?
Oh, I just don't use shampoo.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm rinsing. Sometimes I'll condition in between washes. Because you're not supposed to wash every single day.
I know. That's what they say, but I always
You do?
I really can't not wash my hair every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. You have such beautiful, nice... You and I have very, like, similar hair, actually. Like,
thank you.
It's thick and it's like...
So you're complimenting me, but really complimenting you?
I really think... That was for me. Yeah, that was a thing for me.
No,
yeah.
I know it was. I know.
Anyway, but this isn't a hair podcast, so I should
shout out. No, this isn't. We'll get into that in NMR. But I wanted to just shout out last week's case because I'm still kind of thinking about it.
Me too.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about it. I'm thinking about, like, the culpability. And we talk a little bit about the subway shooter that graced our presence in New York last week. And, you know, we did talk about how everyone checked in, but now they've been caught after, as SNL says, he was finally caught after 30 hours and after he turned himself in, which was hilarious.
Right. Did he turn himself in? I thought somebody found him.
No, he called in being like, I heard you guys are looking for me. And then he wasn't there.
Oh.
And then he was. And then... Whatever, he left, and then they finally got him.
But, oh, okay, I didn't know
I don't know,
that.
Just, I don't know, him calling himself in reminded me a little bit of the case from a little bit ago of just being like, if you know right from wrong, can you still plead some sort of insanity defense, even though I think that if you're willing to kill a bunch of people, and granted, subway shooter didn't kill anyone, so he's technically not a murderer, but he's attempted to, but still,
by
again,
luck, right?
But still not, you know, just by court of law, he didn't. So there's that. I want to get the terms right, but it's just kind of like, are you mentally ill or not? Like, it just goes to show how important mental illness should be at the forefront of so much of our criminal justice system, and it really, really isn't, and it's hard to know all the... I don't know the ins and outs of everything, but
no, that's a great point.
Yeah, it's just very interesting.
It's really funny because we've done how many episodes now? Hundreds and hundreds. And I agree with you. Like that conversation we had from the last episode really stuck with me. I was driving over the weekend, which you can hear all about on NMR as well. And I caught myself thinking about that multiple times, you know, not right? just, and not just with that case, but just other cases. And yeah, even the subway shooter and, you know, just everyday life even, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It just, it made me think.
Yeah.
But we have another case that's going to make us think today. John, are you drinking?
I'm drinking because let me tell you something. And I'm, uh-oh. Again, if you're not listening to NMR, you're missing out. And I won't go into it too deeply. But it's now 7 o'clock at night on, we're recording a little earlier this week on a Monday night, and it is still snowing. That's right, Darren. It's been snowing all day long. I'm snowed in my house. It is a blizzard.
It's weird because you're more southern than me, so you wouldn't expect that. Yeah. When did this snow start?
I guess overnight, because I woke up and there was, you know what? I woke up this morning around, I think it was like 8:30. And I was like, are you kidding me? There's like a little bit of snow. And I thought, it's spring. It's going to melt away. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way. Here we are, 7 o'clock.
Last week.
Yeah.
7 o'clock, it's still there. Well, yeah, because I don't know. Like, a lot of people, like in New York, people often forget that like March is still very much so in the winter. Like, we get a snowstorm, I feel like, always in March. Everyone thinks it's January, February, but it's always in March. And this year, we really didn't get any of them. And sometimes the April... Mm-hmm. last minute snowstorm tries to peep out of whatever the hell it's doing. So I guess this was that. I'm curious. Yeah.
So my drink.
It's rainy here, but I wonder if that just converted to rain as it got up to me. Anyway.
Wait, I thought you were going to say, I'm curious what you're drinking. That's why I said my drink. So sorry to jump in on you on
that. No. I was going to say, what are you drinking? But yeah. It is really confusing when it's like April, almost at May. And
by the way,
you are snowed in and kind of what's considered like the South.
I know. Yeah. It's weird because I'm only a couple hours away from you. But yeah, it's supposed to be 80 this week. So in order to enjoy my evening in, I'm having a little Bailey's and hot chocolate. Okay. It's a throwback.
Wow,
and shout out to my friend Brianne who got me the apple pie Bailey's I haven't finished yet. So that's what I'm having.
I think I've talked about how, I'm sure I have. I'm a very big seltzer drinker. I've talked to you about the little Croix that you tend to drink.
Yep.
I'm a vintage seltzer gal.
That's right.
I find that the one of the better ones is Topo Chico. Have I mentioned Topo Chico to you?
You haven't, but I have a colleague at my office who loves Topo Chico. Yeah.
Yes, our friend Dan loves Topo Chico.
Yeah.
Whenever I go over to Dan's place, he always has Topo Chico. In fact, Dan was the one to get me into grapefruit Topo Chico, but that's not necessarily what I'm drinking because they make hard seltzers Topo Chico does that I've had. And I love a High Noon, but I don't normally like the White Claws and the
Trulies, like
because it's just like, it's like malt liquor and it doesn't make me feel good. But
the
Topo Chico hard seltzers, not only are the flavors good and the seltzers good, it's a very good drink. So I'm drinking one of those today, and I just kind of wanted to shout that out.
And by the way, they are not advertising on our show, but hey, if you want to, you can. That's not
but
a problem.
But hey, Topo Chico,
yeah,
please do it. We got a Topo Chica and Chico right here. We're ready.
The amount of bottles of Bailey's that have been sold because of me over the years, I have to say,
the only reason Bailey sold any of those fucking like apple pie,
you might be right,
pumpkin pie things,
because
all the fans were
pumpkin pie. That sounds good. Now we're talking. Bailey's, are you listening? We're gonna send this episode to Bailey's, and I'm not kidding. I'm gonna be like, guys,
we should tag them.
No, I'm going to tag them. We should. Okay, here's what we're going
to
do. I'm going to send this email first. I'm going to be like, listen to this episode. We talk about Bailey's. We love you guys. You definitely have sold at least tens of bottles.
Six bottles because of us.
Of Bailey's because of us. And then next week, maybe we'll do a full out campaign where like we get you guys listening to like tag Bailey's and be like, come on, Bailey's, what are you doing?
Yeah, like.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
We got it. And Topo Chico.
And Topo Chico. Sorry. Yes.
Really just Coca-Cola. But that's fine.
That's fine, too. Sounds delicious to me. Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this week's case. Let's do it.
Because we diverge too much because we're besties. Okay. So any.
A few moments later.
Okay. There we go. Then we get into the case.
All right. Here we go. So on February 10th, 1929, Priscilla Ford was born in Michigan. In 1957, at the age of 28, Priscilla, who only possessed a high school education, was hired as a school teacher in a one-room schoolhouse in, and I'm going to butcher this, Dowagiac, Michigan.
Dowagiac. Although I will say, 1957, at the age of 28, not a lot of women were going to college back then.
That's true.
My grandmother, I believe, on my mom's side, was the only grandparent that went. My mom's going to listen to this and probably correct me, so I apologize, Mom, if I'm getting this wrong. But I believe it was the only one out of my four grandparents who had a college education, and she got her master's. My grandmother was my mom's high school English teacher. Can you believe that?
Your grandmother was your... So my her mom's, mom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Having a parent as your teacher is like terrifying.
Oh, I can't even... I can't even imagine doing that. I would be really upset. By the way, I do have a friend, Ian, in Michigan, who's a listener of the show. Ian, you're going to have to let me know if this is how I pronounce Dowagiac. Dowagiac.
It's kind of a cool name.
It sounds like maybe Native American in what's the word? Origin? What happened to my brain just then? Anyway.
I don't know. We're only at bullet point number one.
I know, literally.
So this
we have...
is going to be a very good show. I can already tell.
But there you go. Okay, so at first, school board officials were nervous about hiring her and skeptical of her abilities. She was the district's first Black teacher. So in those days, that meant skepticism, of course.
And still some days.
And unfortunately, it still does.
Unfortunately, yeah, right.
Soon, however, Priscilla was able to prove herself to the board, who came to view her as an extremely gifted teacher who cared about her students. Also in 1957, Priscilla shot her husband and herself, allegedly in self-defense. She told authorities that her husband hit her, which led to the incident. And there's not a ton more reporting on this. We just know what we know, but these are things that happen. She survived.
Enough to leave a tale. I mean, she's only 28 about it. And so from what we know, if she's saying self-defense, you know, obviously one hit or one slap might not warrant justification for holding out a gun and shooting another person.
Right.
But and I'm going to be very light on the topic here just because it seems so sensitive, but it does seem that if this was repetitive and she had no other way, then self-defense would be a fair point here. But I'm not confident that, like, your husband slaps you, which is horrible, or hits you, which is horrible, still necessarily warrants self-defense if you killed him. But let's see what else we got here.
That's true, because a couple years later, 1963, Priscilla gave birth to her daughter, Winter Scott, which I love that name. W-Y-N-T-R. By the way, winter here in Maryland, of course, as it's snowing and blizzarding. Blizzarding.
You never hear fall or spring as names. You hear winter and you hear summer.
That's true.
Fall or spring, even though fall or spring are arguably the better seasons.
That's, are they? Autumn. Yeah.
Autumn.
Yeah, autumn is more that.
That's good.
Oh.
You know what? Autumn or fall? I never thought about that.
I know. Yeah, I say fall, but a lot of people say autumn.
Either
way,
is there another word for spring that also is a?
April.
May is a
name. That's fair. Yeah, April and May. All right, we're digressing. Here we go.
We're digressing, yes. Okay, Winter Scott.
Okay, Winter Scott was born. And then in 1966, Priscilla graduated with a BA in teaching, all the while continuing to teach at the school.
So she finally got her college education.
And in 1970, Priscilla's friends and family began to note that her behavior was becoming increasingly troubling. Not increasably, John.
As far as you know, it's not that.
As far as I'm aware.
Not invented yet.
That's right. Priscilla had started talking about instances of seeing her deceased husband standing across the street from her home.
This is like you with that little girl at your friend's. It was like, oh, yeah, I just saw a little girl, but no big deal.
No big deal, but I just saw one, too, so it is a big deal.
Right.
I don't like the, you know what? It reminds me of Michael Myers from the Halloween movies. He was always just kind of like standing in just the right spot that would be freaking you out. Remember the, I don't remember if it was the first or the second one, but the one where he's like standing in the clotheslines outside of.
God, I don't remember.
Oh, it was a lot. As something just fell in my bathtub. I just heard bad noise in my bathroom.
Can you go check what it is?
Should I right now?
Just go run and go see what it is.
Should
if something
I go?
Fell, just tell me if something's spinning. Go. We're going to take this.
And then when we come back, I'm going to do a few moments later.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just go run. Go do it right now. I got to see what the hell this is.
I'm actually terrified. Stand by.
You're fine. You're going to be totally fine. John's getting up. He's scurrying away, but he has a blurred background, which looks like he's in space right now. So it's hard to say when he's going to come back into the ether. But we do know that something fell in his bathroom. He's scampering over, and I'm very curious to see. He's yelling, "Oh my God."
Hold on, I gotta put my
He's gotta put his headphones on. He said, "Oh my God." The door. I've been narrating with the audience the entire time of what I've been seeing. Okay, so you're back.
I'm back, and it's
a few moments later.
And while describing this woman's deceased husband,
yes,
my loofah, which I have. Okay, so let me explain. I have like a suction cup hook that you buy at like Walmart. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
In my bathroom, in my bathtub, I should say, or whatever, my shower. And that's where I hang my loofah.
And that fell down.
That fell down while I'm talking about someone's deceased husband. Do I need to get, out of this house.
I will say those suction cup hooks just never
work. They never work, but I will say this one had been fine. It does fall like literally twice a year. Literally twice a year. And when it does,
but it's going to happen right now. When
but it happens now. And when it does fall, I'm like, I pretend like it's like, oh, it's like the full moon of the fifth month. It's, you know, like I make and a little like, joke to myself and then I'm like,
oh,
okay, let me just like
re-loof
my doof. You know what I mean?
Re-loof your doof. Re-loof We're my seeing doof. Priscilla starts talking about instances of seeing her
husband.
Basically dead shot husband across the street from her home.
And I was just talking about Michael Myers. I don't know.
When
it's
I
a
think
lot.
Of Michael Myers, and I understand that this is different, but when I think of Michael Myers in Murder, I think of Michael Myers in the movie. But I think of the comedian, and I think of I Married an Axe Murderer. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but
it's like
I don't
kind
think I've
of
seen
funny.
It.
Yeah. But it was like, if anyone remembers it and you have nostalgia, whatever someone says Mike Myers, even though I know it's Halloween, for some reason, I just think Mike Myers and I Married an Axe Murderer.
Right.
So my circuits are off.
All right. Anyway. Well, everything, let's regroup our circuits here.
We're re-regrouping.
Let me just make sure everything looks good with our recording. Everything is great. So she's seeing her husband across the street,
supposedly.
Apparently. Friends and
allegedly.
Family are worried. She also started making some oddly religious comments about possessing the souls of Adam and Jesus Christ. Now, which Adam? We don't know. It could be Adam Carolla, Adam Lambert.
Well, in 1972, Priscilla's eldest son returned home from army deployment and immediately became aware that something was wrong with his mother.
Mm.
She had fallen into alcoholism and had been outright, just straight up delusional.
I was just
going to...
Sorry to interrupt you. I kept thinking you were pausing. I mean, that's the other thing is this is the beginning of delusion, what we were just saying, which is not just, you know, a colloquial term. It's like it is something that is usually a symptom of mental illness, you know, when you start, and you can see, unfortunately, in some mental illnesses and diseases, frankly, your cognition slowly deteriorates and you sort of start saying and behaving and acting and responding in ways that aren't typical.
I think it's what scares a lot of people about elderly people having dementia and Alzheimer's and they start to forget and they think, you know, someone's alive. And it's very, very scary kind of, you know, losing your mind, as the colloquial term says. But here's what's interesting about Priscilla, because a year later in 1973, Priscilla voluntarily committed herself to a mental health facility in Nevada. So that says something to me that she has some sort of wherewithal of thinking, like, maybe this isn't right. Maybe what I'm thinking isn't quote-unquote normal, whatever the fuck that means. It seems a little outlierish.
Atypical or whatever.
Atypical, yeah. And once admitted, Priscilla was diagnosed with passive-aggressive personality. I've never really heard of that.
I think I have.
I feel
that.
Like we all do. Go on Twitter and there's that.
Right.
And bouts of hysterical episodes, which I have to say feels very female-oriented diagnoses from like
from the
50s,
70s,
60s, 70s of doctors being like, she's just on her period. Like,
she's one of those hysterical women.
She's emotional. She's hysterical. She's got her period. Right. But we'll see. Priscilla was treated, unclear with kind of what, and released from the facility. And a year later, in 1974, Priscilla was arrested for trespassing and was sent back to the mental health facility. Her daughter, Winter, who is now 11 years old, was removed from her custody, an act Priscilla spoke of as kidnapping, essentially. And after her release from the psychiatric facility, Priscilla moved from Reno, Nevada to Buffalo, New York, a little bit different, where she sought help from the Catholic Charities of Buffalo. This is already starting to give me a little agita. But in 1979, Priscilla was admitted to another psychiatric facility in Buffalo, where she was formally diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. I wonder how they kind of bring this back to her shooting her husband. Like, yeah. I wonder, is it part of the self-defense? Is it, you know, having to be diagnosed just 5 years later, from going from essentially like, she's got hysteric, she's got passive aggressive disorder, to having paranoid schizophrenia,
yeah, right,
is a pretty big jump. Like, she's, we're all passive aggressive in our own ways. You know what I mean? We're all totally. Have our bouts of pettiness.
And we should say, we are not psychologists, so we, you know, what passive aggressive whatever is, we don't know. We're just kind of going off of standard folk here. But at the same time, yeah, I think it's a pretty big jump. I would imagine, especially if they're just saying she suffers from hysteria, to paranoid schizophrenia. And remember, this is now 1979. So, you know, psychology is a little more advanced. You know, there's a little more, I guess you could say, focus, or not even focus. What is the word I'm trying to say here? Bless you.
Excuse me. Thank you.
There's a little more...
emphasis?
Yeah, like emphasis or even study, I would say, in psychology. I feel like, you know,
it's always changing. I mean, the DSM is, there have been 5 versions of it, so it definitely kind of changes.
What's DSM? I don't even know.
The Diagnostic Statistic Manual, basically.
Oh, excuse me.
It's like where homosexuality used to be considered a mental disorder. It was taken out of the DSM.
Oh, okay. I know what you're saying now. So
it's like it defines, it's kind of like the Encyclopedia of Mental Disorders.
Look at you. This is why we keep you on the show. This is why we keep you on the show.
No, a number of reasons, but yes. That's the main one. Well, anyway, she was living in Buffalo.
Yes.
But now she moves to Maine. And in 1980, now Priscilla living in Maine, she sought help from an attorney in reclaiming custody of Winter. Priscilla allegedly told her attorney that if she didn't get the help she was looking for, she would, quote, drive across the state and kill everybody she saw along the way. It's a pretty big threat, end quote.
Yeah.
And in November of that year, Priscilla began a drive from Maine to San Francisco.
Oh, dear.
And during the drive, she stopped in Reno to cash a check and decided to stay in the city. She was hired as a seasonal gift wrapper at Macy's. So she kind of winds back up closer towards the West Coast than from the East Coast.
And I have to think, too, in the 80s, given, you know, just vehicles in their day, you know, that's kind of a big task to go across the country in vehicles back then. I'm curious, you know, I think, like, what is she leaving behind? What is she taking with her? Why? You know, there's a lot of questions here. But on November 27th, 1980, Thanksgiving Day, actually, Priscilla consumed a meal of crackers and wine before putting on a black cape and getting in her car to drive to the Meadowood Mall.
This is like The Dark Knight when that came out. And then, Dylan Roof, or who was it?
Was it the Colorado Springs?
God, why am I blanking on it? It could have been Dylan Roof. Somebody who did into the theater. What was Dylan Roof did the church.
Yeah. I don't know his name.
God, I feel his face.
You see his face?
Bald. It's with an L. I'll look it up.
Okay, anyway, sure. But yes, I feel like it makes you wonder what inspires people to do things like this, you know?
Well, gotta look it up.
Sure, look it up. I'll keep going, though, because at the time, what is it?
I just said keep going.
Oh, keep going, sure. Yeah. So at the time, her blood alcohol level was 0.16, which is pretty high. At 2:59 p.m., on her way to the mall, Priscilla jumped the curb with her car and began driving down the sidewalk, starting at around 20 miles per hour, quickly accelerating up to 40 miles per hour.
Jesus Christ. Also, it was James Holmes in Aurora, Colorado.
Thinking it was Colorado,
Yep.
So now she's driving quickly, 40 miles per hour on the sidewalk. She drove her car roughly 500 feet down 2 sidewalk blocks, crossing in front of several major clubs. In the span of just a few minutes, Priscilla struck 29 people with her car. 5 were killed instantly, and 24 were injured. So that tells you how serious this is. 14 people were rushed to Washoe Medical Center, where 2 more later died from their injuries. According to an eyewitness report, quote, it looked as though someone had gone through the streets with a lawnmower mowing people down, end quote.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And we've heard of these in pop, you know, they've been in the news in the last couple of years, last 10 years. They're always horrifying. I'm thinking of one that happened in France. I remember in Nice, France a couple years ago. It's not a pretty picture. Bodies of Priscilla's victims laid in the street, along with dismembered body parts as well. When Priscilla stopped her car, she was quickly arrested and taken into custody. She did not resist arrest and even asked one of the deputies, quote, how many did I kill?
Wow.
So that tells you right there, you know, she had the intention or the expectation, I would say maybe even the hope, that she was going to kill people. When she was told 5 or 6, Priscilla allegedly responded, quote, good. So that's the type of insidious person we're dealing with.
Yeah, I was going to say, so this is definitely a problem here. This is not a lapse of judgment. This is a cold-blooded killer.
Yes, and once in custody, Priscilla was questioned by authorities as to why she had committed such a senseless act. Priscilla stated that Joan Kennedy, wife of then-Senator Edward Kennedy, had instructed her to run over people in the street. Which, of course, makes no sense, but
doesn't
okay.
really seem to track from a politician, yeah. let alone a politician's wife, but yeah. you never okay. know.
She stated that she had specifically targeted Reno because the city's child welfare office had kidnapped, in her words, her daughter 7 years prior. And we don't have the research or the details right off of the top of our heads here, but I would love to know, like, was she in contact with Winter all these years? You know, like, what was the situation there?
And what was Winter feeling like during this time? Well, at the time, Winter had been placed in the care of Priscilla's relatives in Los Angeles, something Priscilla had allegedly been notified of years prior. As she waited for her blood alcohol levels to be tested, Priscilla allegedly spoke to a police officer stating, "The more dead, the better. I deliberately plan to get as many as possible. A Lincoln Continental can do a lot of damage, can it?"
Oh, boy. Like, so she was in a Lincoln Continental.
And it proves premeditation. If she allegedly said this. And if she did say it, then that proves premeditation.
Yeah.
Priscilla was charged with 6 counts of murder and 23 counts of attempted murder. Although 7 people had died during the attack, there were complications regarding charges with the 7th, hence the reason that she only got charged for 6 counts of murder, even though 7 people were murdered. Mm. In January of 1981, a judge ordered that Priscilla be admitted to a mental health facility to receive treatment until she was well enough to stand trial. And in August of that year, Priscilla was deemed mentally competent for trial, and her defense team entered a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity.
So similar conversations to last week's episode, which we were just talking about. Yeah.
At trial, over 100 witnesses testified about Priscilla's rampage, and there were over 500 evidence exhibits in total between the defense and the prosecution. Obviously, she's not even trying to hide this. So there was a lot of clear witnesses when she's driving on the fucking sidewalk. And during the trial, Priscilla took the stand, testifying to the jury that she was, quote, as happy as I could possibly be on the day of the killings. Mm. Clearly, this woman is not right mentally. She went on to comment, quote, I am in a state of mind that I am in heaven, later telling the jury that she was the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. The prosecution showed her photos of each of her 6 victims, and for each photo asked her, were you as happy as you could be and in a heavenly state when you ran into this person? Priscilla replied yes to each photo.
Oh, my God.
And she went on to explain to the jury that she had been remorseful in private, but when asked if she cared about her victims, she commented, how can I care? Is there anything I can do? Feeling good doesn't do any good for them. You know what would have been good for them? Maybe not for mow down them and kill these fucking people. Like, are you kidding? The defense later referred to her testimony as, I'm sure no surprise here, public suicide, which is fucking true, because the way to sway your jury, if you want, is to provide empathy. And that is what the defense attorneys are trying to provide here when they defend their victims, is a little bit of empathy, a little bit of knowledge of what went down to try and humanize them. And if your witness is going to go up there and being like, fuck all these people, I was happy to kill all these people, I wish I killed more, you're not going to get a lot of empathy.
No, probably not. I like that you got a little closer to the microphone when you did that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Priscilla's daughter, Winter, actually also testified, informing the jury that her mother had taught her to smoke marijuana when she was only 9 years old. Oof. She also noted that Priscilla often spoke to her about plans to have Winter artificially inseminated to bring forth a virgin-birthed messiah. I don't even know how to comment on this.
They would want that, right? Like, that's what God's thinking. Like, let's have 9-year-olds smoke and get pregnant so that way they can be a messiah. That's God's plan.
That's normal.
Gotta be. Gotta be.
On March 20th, 1982, the jury found Priscilla guilty on all counts. It took the jury 13 hours to make their ruling, which is nothing. On March 29th, after deliberating for 9 more days, the jury sentenced Priscilla to death by gas chamber.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's a tough one. In her statement to the court, Priscilla said only, quote, "I would like to be left alone to die in peace." However,
Sorry to interrupt. No. I wonder, and even though there's double jeopardy, so she's not going to get convicted for a crime that she was already acquitted of, but I wonder how that changed the perception of her husband dying, of her baby daddy dying, being shot by Priscilla. Like, I wonder if his family had changed his opinion or their kids changed their opinion on that.
Right.
And that incident, like, was it really self-defense? Was it not? It could have been. I'm not saying it wasn't.
Well,
I'm just saying it might color it a little bit now, knowing what we kind of know about Priscilla. It's interesting.
And that was allegedly at a time where people weren't noticing her mental deterioration yet. So they may have just chalked it up to be self-defense when really it was something more insidious as well.
Right.
So she wanted to die in peace. However, Priscilla's defense team carried on with a lengthy appeal process, attempting to get her sentence reduced from death to life in prison without parole. Her legal team changed hands several times, as you might expect, and one of the key appeal citations was that of inadequate legal defense at her initial trial. However, the prosecution team held that due to Priscilla's mental state, she was unlikely to ever be executed. Well, Priscilla spent 23 years on death row at the Southern Nevada Women's Correctional Center until she passed away at the age of 75 from complications of emphysema. Throughout the decades-long ordeal, the prosecution firmly believed that Priscilla knew right from wrong, which is what Darren and I had been talking about earlier in this episode and last episode. After her death, one of the lead prosecutors commented to the press, quote, "She was angry that day, and what she did was what she attempted to do. She stayed angry and probably died angry."
To be fair, that does track to having that passive-aggressive disorder of being like, "I'm holding a grudge." True. I just don't know from any sort of medical standpoint here, of it, as in, like, how do we relate, you know, her probably being angry, her obviously having a temper issue, but also feeling like she was in heaven and God knew when she was killing those people. Maybe that's something to do with, like, she's only happy when she's in her state of evil and feel like, I don't know. It's complicated. It's sad all around because she had kids and that's what she, you know?
And I was going to say that, you know, there was a moment as we were doing this research and as we were doing the show today where I was like, you know, listen, I am not justifying anything that she's done, but I can understand maybe being upset with the state or the system or the government, whatever you want to call it, for quote unquote kidnapping your daughter. Even if it was for the best intentions, I don't know how I would react as a parent. Listen, I'm a mother of all these children listening to Shaken and Disturbed.
We got a lot of kids going on.
Yeah, we got a lot of kids.
You and I have been procreating for quite some time now. I don't think you realize it.
Yeah. And not to make light of it, but it is kind of like, you know, I will never probably, I don't expect to be a parent. Maybe I will one day, but I just can't imagine what that feels like. And then what then happens, especially if someone has an underlying mental illness, how that triggers and exacerbates other problems that are going on that would lead to something, you know, something like this. So it's a really tragic case all around, and our hearts go out to the victims and their families of this very senseless, I wouldn't call it an act of passion. It was premeditated to me, so I don't know.
Yeah, it. I know we talk a lot of TV on NMR, but did you ever see The Dropout with about Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos? You know Theranos,
no.
Right?
Yes, I do, yeah.
And, you know, Theranos' whole idea was like, figure out basically everything that could be wrong with you in a drop of blood, right? And it gives you this, it might test that you have cancer before anyone else can figure it out. Okay. I sort of, and even though it ended up being a hoax and didn't end up working, but I do sort of wish there was kind of that, and maybe in the future there will be that, I think there probably is, about like maybe finding mental illness before, like a chemical imbalance of some sort, as much as we can physiologically about those things. I'm not sure that we could necessarily like find out if there's PTSD, but if there was some sort of chemical imbalance or you noticed that maybe a person's frontal lobe wasn't the same as the other person's, like maybe that's going to affect them. Like, I just think that that would solve so many issues of just homelessness and crime and our prison systems if there was just some sort of way to like streamline it. But obviously we're working on it. You know, I'm sure they are. Yeah.
And to add to that, it would also, I feel like, adjust the stigmas that come with not just the crimes that are committed, but the, you know, like I think about Aaron Hernandez, for example, who after, who died in prison and, you know, committed murder and whatever else he was up to. But then they looked at his frontal lobe and it was so unbelievably, damaged. And it's like, yes, he did those things. He should be punished for those things. But at the same time, what are we doing as a society if we're not looking at that and saying he is a product and an effect of something horrible that is physiologically wrong with him? He didn't just wake up one day and decide to go murder. Like, this was something that was, and then think about all the things we don't know about the mind and how that works just yet. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not empathizing again. Like, I am not empathizing with killers. I think our roles here as podcasters, as you think about this stuff. Yeah.
I was going to say, like, you know, and I've talked about Ed Kemper. It's not saying that, like, you can kind of have two simultaneous thoughts in your head.
Yes.
This person is, like, obviously did something horrible. Obviously, there's no excuse for it. While also being, like, but did they kind of have a choice? Like, did they grow up in an environment of which they could become anything other than this horrible fucking thing?
And you just made a really great point.
Provides color to it. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I keep thinking you're pausing, and I apologize. But you said, you know, there's no excuse for it. But wait a minute. What if there is an excuse, and we can get to that excuse, and we can, you know, premeditate. What's the word I'm thinking?
Prediagnose, or something in that way.
Yeah, and then we can divert, you know, with therapy or whatever, this person from doing that. Anyway, I'm just getting caught up in my thoughts and words here, but I think you guys
let's end up on some listener shout outs.
That's right. Let's do that. Why don't you take the first one?
Well, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to some of our newest Patreon subscribers this week. Yes. We got Gina and Jesse and Heather. We appreciate your support of the show. That is so very fun. Welcome to being a little radish, rolled off the tongue there. And always exciting announcements on our Patreon. We really appreciate any and all support.
Absolutely. And very special shout out to my friends, Carla and Jeff, Smokey and Mitten's parents, who are longtime fans of our show, Darren. Over the weekend, I officiated their wedding in New Jersey. But the big party is coming up in Mexico. This was sort of the formal marriage, if you will. So either way, congratulations to the happy couple and, of course, their children's kittens, Mittens and Smokey.
Carla and Jeff, first off, congrats, yada, yada, yada. But secondly, and most importantly, why wasn't I invited to at least walk Mittens and Smokey down the aisle?
I was surprised that they weren't. I asked Jeff.
I would think that I could be the person. Imagine to come in.
Imagine you take Mittens, I take Smokey, or whatever.
Or I
we
could
want.
Take both.
Yeah.
Let's not get greedy here, John.
I agree. Yeah, that's true. I was busy at the front, although, marrying them.
You are a cat lover now, so maybe you do get a little possessive of the cats here and there. Wasn't it Jeff and Carla who, by the way, that when we first started doing our Zooms for Patreon and they came on with Smokey and I was like, but I didn't know the name. And I was like, oh my God, it's little Smokey.
Yeah.
I was like, and you were like, wait, what? And I was like, it looks like a little smokestack, like little Smokey. And you're like,
my brain was already not really working as it usually isn't. But then when you said the name, I was like, for a second, I was like, wait, has she met this cat? They just got it. And then I was like, oh, yes, that's crazy you said that because its name is Smokey. So perfect.
Well, we just wanted to thank you to everyone who has signed up for Patreon. Like I said, if you haven't yet, we obviously really hope that you will. There's always exciting things to happen. But of course, we appreciate all the support.
Yes. And your support keeps our show going for as little as $5 a month, and if you sign up annually, it's even cheaper than that. I think you get like 15% off. That's cheaper, guys, than like a Starbucks drink. Because
by the way, not cheaper than a Dunkin' Donuts drink because they have a better bang for your buck, but Starbucks.
Bar. Well, we're not going to get into that at the end of the show, but that's wrong. So.
And obviously, if you can't support that way, we always appreciate you rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. That little goes a long way. And we've got one more thank you to do, right, John?
That's right. And that, of course, goes to our lovely and amazing researcher, Megan. We need to get her back on the show. She's taken too long of a break. She was moving, blah, blah,
Fuck
blah.
Megan. I mean, sorry. Oh. Got excited. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm always a little late on that, aren't I?
A little late.
So one, two, three. Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
We love you.
Always great with the research. And guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another case on Treacon and Mister.
Bye.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.